B-Pod Studios.
So, not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Finish Strong Friday is brought to you by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. When you think about ductless heating and cooling, think 128. Convenient to install. Great rebates and no duct work needed. Call 128.com.
They'll get rid of all the ducks in your ponds out back. And ducks flying around, eating everything, crapping everywhere. Ductless. See, I love it. Like all the Red Sox fans chirping me on the... you're making fun of Sweet Caroline. They play you, Josie, when they're getting asked. No, they don't play it when they're losing.
No.
Ever.
They only play it when they're winning.
It's a game in hand song.
In fact, I think that's a good middle ground on Sweet Caroline.
Know the room.
Play it when you're winning. Don't play it when you're losing.
That's it. How soon they forget.
What's wrong with that? Isn't that a good middle ground on it?
It's TJ's song anyways, Josie.
Oh, boy, here we go. You're right. Let's get to Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, ahead of Sunday's game against Brady and the Bucks.
Here we go.
Good morning, Bill. I know you've taken 1,000 Tom Brady questions this week, so not specifically about him, but you did mention the other day how he's close to the all-time yardage record, something I'm sure you'd appreciate more if he wasn't playing against you this week. But I'm just wondering, does the NFL stop the game in that instance? Does the NFL do that, or do you have a say in that as the home team, if there's an acknowledgement during the game of that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Honestly, we're going to try to keep him from gaining too many yards passing the ball, so... Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to talk to somebody else about that.
Okay, thanks. Just curious.
Next question, Ian Still, followed by Doug Kai.
Hey, Bill. Another Brady question here. Do you think that you would have had the success that you have had here if Tom Brady wasn't your quarterback?
Yeah, of course not.
You know, what about having him in that partnership, I guess, brought you guys over the top for those years?
Well, I mean, we talked about that for 2 decades. I think I've been on the record, I don't know, dozens of times saying there's no quarterback I would rather have than Tom Brady, and I still feel that way. I was very lucky to have Tom as the quarterback to coach him, and I mean, he was... As good as any coach could ever ask for.
Thank you.
Next question, Doug Kai, followed by Aaron Stevens.
Hi, Bill. In a week like this with potential distractions, do you need to remind players to avoid those and focus on what they need to do, or do you essentially trust them at this point to know that on their own?
Yeah, each week has its own challenges besides the game itself, the actual competition on the field, the week of it, whether it's could be a lot of things, you know, certainly travel on away games and whatever the unique circumstances are of the game that you're playing. So we always talk about those. Each game's different. Each one has its own, you know, has its own elements to it. I don't think any two are really alike, besides the fact that teams are different, but they're, you know, some are more similar than others, but there's always an element of something that's a little bit, you know, different this week or a different something we have to, I won't say deal with, but, you know, as part of the week.
Thank you.
Alan Siegel, followed by Tyler Bronski.
Morning, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, in your career, you faced a lot of great, great quarterbacks. I'm wondering of those great quarterbacks, and I'm sure Tom is in that group, are there any quarterbacks that you just cannot fool, you know, with whatever you line up, and that execution becomes even more important than it usually is?
Yeah, well, I've faced a lot of great quarterbacks as a coach in my career, but again, you're looking at an entire team. You have to look at all the people on the team, not just the quarterback, but who his receivers are, who his tight end is, what the running game is, what the offensive line is, how they do things. And, you know, ultimately you have to play good team defense, and particularly against a passing team like the Bucs are. They're the best passing team in the league. You have to defend the passing game in its totality, the pass rush, the coverage on all the receivers, because they usually get a lot of receivers out other than in some of their play actions that are tied in with the running game. But in the drop back game, they usually get five receivers out. And so you have to, you know, have a way to cover them. And they don't run the same play all the time. So, you know, they do a lot of different things. They present a lot of different challenges. They try to attack the defenses, and you try to, you know, defend the passing game in general terms, but also situationally. Obviously, the best you can against each, you know, each one of those passing attacks. And they're all different, but, you know, there's always some similarities conceptually, but the individual players and the receivers and the protections and all that are, you know, vary from team to team, and so you try to, you know, defend them the best you can.
Thanks, Bill.
Yep, you're welcome.
So, Tyler Bronski and looks like Andrew Kelly.
Hey, Bill. Buccaneers activated Antonio Brown from the COVID list ahead of Sunday's game. You kind of just touched on it a bit, but how does that change, how does their plan change when he's out there, and for you guys, how you approach, you know, their receivers when he's added to that mix for them?
All right. Well, you'd have to ask them how it changes. But, you know, they... I mean, we expected AB to be there. You know, Miller was put down, so Brown's skills versus Miller's skills. I mean, they're both good receivers. They're a little different. They've been used a little bit differently in the offense down there, but they're both good. And so, you know, we'll prepare for AB and not prepare for Miller. But again, they have good depth and good skill, good quality at all positions, quarterback, running back, tight end, receiver. And in the passing game, we'll have to, I mean, they're all a problem. So we'll have to deal with all of them. And, you know, some of that depends on who else is out there as well. It's, you know, just because a certain receiver, tight end, or running back is on the field, that's one thing. But, you know, a lot of times it depends on who's out there with them. In terms of how you're trying to defend that grouping, not just that individual player. So, you know, all those things become factors. But, you know, AB looks good, like he always does. I mean, he's quick. He's tough after the catch. You know, he's got good speed, good receiving ability. He's a big-time playmaker. And so, you know, he'll be a problem when he's out there, I'm sure. Like, honestly, like all the rest of them are.
Last two questions. We'll go Andrew Calhoun, followed by Chris Brown.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Andrew.
So in big games, I know other coaches, and not asking you to speak for them, have just discussed how they've factored in the emotion of it in the first quarter, and that's affected just the way they plan or prepare, communicate. You know, look, you got to expect, given the history here and the relationships, to feel something maybe a little bit extra. Is that something you factor into the kind of your expectation for how the game might start and the choices you might make, either offensively or defensively, to kind of account for that?
Yeah, I think you put it well. I think there's an element of that every week. I'm not saying it's the same every week, but there's an element of every week. But, you know, in the end, when the balls snap, you know, we have to play good fundamentals, good technique. We have to all be on the same page and know what the play is and know what we're doing and know what our assignment is and know what adjustments we need to make based on what the opponent does, whether it's a kicking play, an offensive play, or a defensive play, and that's football. And so when the players go out on the field and the coaches call the plays or make adjustments after the play or after the series, that's really what all of our jobs are, to perform on the field. Of course, there's an emotional element to the game, but ultimately it's based on performance. And the most important thing for all of us, every one of us that participates in the game, is to do our job and do it well, and to you know, execute the our part of the play, whatever that happens to be, and our assignment and whatever adjustments we have to make at the highest level. So that's really what we all have to do, regardless of what the other circumstances are, the opponent, the weather, the crowd, the wind, the, you know, personnel grouping that's on the field. Like, we've all been trained to execute in situations, and when those come up, then that's the competition, is our execution versus our opponents.
Bill Belichick, who had praise again for Tom Brady, head of the game on Sunday night, saying, of course, you know, when it came to success over the last 20 years, of course not, he wouldn't have had the level of success that he had without Tom Brady. Openly admits that, not avoiding that. No other quarterback he'd rather have than Tom Brady. As he said, he has said on the record many, many times. He did mention the emotion, though. So there's an element of that every single week. And acknowledged that, I think it was Andrew Callahan there that had asked it, that he put it well, to say that there had been a history and that things could be a little bit more emotional. I go back to that Mike Florio report of a week ago now, last Friday night, saying the Patriots are hopeful. Again, it felt like a report. I think it's a report. I don't think it was his opinion that the emotions could get the best of Brady early on in this game.
It was kind of odd. It came out of nowhere, and the key word in that was wobbly.
Wobbly, which you said...
I think that's been used before.
You said that's a word they use on the inside, wobbly. Tipped you off. Tipped so off.
Get him off his spot.
Wobbly was a word on the inside. Inside word. Wobbly. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Tom Brady wanted to end his career with the 49ers, not the Buccaneers. Tell you about that and get to more of your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from the Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Matt Maiocco, who covers the San Francisco 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area. He wrote about this today, wrote about what's in It's Better to Be Feared by Seth Wickersham. Upcoming book, all about the Brady-Belichick time in New England together and the breakup of the two. If you go to page 438 on this book, in the book, when you get yourself a copy, you're going to see a story about Tom Brady wanting to go to San Francisco. That when he put together his list of destinations, there were important things to him. Weather was one of them. He did not like the cold. He was sick of the cold, as was his wife. They legitimately did not want to play in an environment as cold as New England. And then it was related to family, whether it be close to Jack or close to his parents on the West Coast. And it sounds like when you read it, these were all things he would like, but he wasn't glued to any one of those things. Like, it didn't have to be warm weather. It didn't have to be close to Jack. It didn't have to be close to his parents, but you got to check at least one of those boxes. I also think he probably found out through the process that fewer teams wanted him than he would have liked, and that turned out to be true. And I think the league is moronic. A stupid league. A lot of bad quarterbacks in this league and a lot of coaches like Kyle Shanahan, who have no balls. Because it says in the book, Tom Brady called Wes Welker, coaching with the 49ers, and said, Wes, if the 49ers will have me, there is no free agency tour. There is no talking to other teams.
Oh, my God.
Book it. I'll be there.
How stupid are they? How effing stupid are the 49ers?
2 years, $50 million. I will come home to San Francisco and play, and I won't even talk to any other team. He reached out to Wes Welker early in this to say, relay the message, and then his people talked to San Francisco. And so then Kyle Shanahan, and some of this has been reported on, got his scouts to go back and pull the tape on Brady and watch every freaking throw he had in 2019. And they arrived at the conclusion that Tom Brady was only marginally better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And they also were not sure if they should believe Tom Brady.
But wait a minute.
That he actually wanted to come to the 49ers. They were
so they scouted tepid. Scouted it, but they knew he would come. And they determined he was better than Garoppolo, even though marginally. And they could have bettered the position, but elected not to. At pretty much the same price. Because you wouldn't have been paying Jimmy. You would have got rid of Jimmy.
Actually, but it would have been cheaper if you they could have had bad cap hits and everything. They would
probably
come with that.
Understand
but
that.
But on an average annual value, Tom Brady was looking for the same deal he got. Two at 50. He said he would go there and he would finish his career there. He would play nowhere else.
But I still get it from the San Francisco standpoint of this was then. This was not pulsed watching Tom Brady with the Buccaneers win another Super Bowl, all of that. At the time, you look at it and say, yeah, he's a little bit better right now, but what's he going to play? One more year? I didn't even know he was going to be good in another system without Belichick there. I mean, when you're the 49ers, you're looking at who your coaches are, and you know, without Shanahan in the room, they're saying like, okay, look, this is what he looked like under his last year with Belichick, and he looks that good. Is he going to be that good? Maybe. Do we have as good a coach here? No. Do we have a guy who's almost as good here right now who's younger? Yes. Let's not do it. Now, it seems stupid now.
Right.
I
think it even seems stupider then. More stupid then.
They were coming off a Super Bowl, which Jimmy had just played.
But they're coming off a Super Bowl loss where he knows our guy choked. And the difference to pay this guy to bring him in, if he's just marginally better,
he did choke.
In that moment.
He's choky.
But what you're gambling on is we're there. Our window's now. We're in the mix. Well, Bert was in with us every effing weekend. That team's a contender. That team's a contender. Every year, contender. They're built to win now. You're gambling on bringing a guy in that doesn't crap his pants in that moment. And that's what you're paying for. And that's the risk. That's to me what makes it even more dumb.
And part of their concern was that scouts had said his arm strength had faded in 2019.
But the way they run routes, it's combo routes and it's verticals where guys are running open, and he just lay the ball. You don't stick the ball in his offense. They're fluff passes. Little misdirection, boom, boot out and flat. Get to Yusha, get it to Kittle.
I don't.
There's separation.
Everybody looks stupid for not going after Brady now. You know, we can just agree on that after the fact. But I'll even say this for the 49ers. Oh, this guy's willing to come here, no visit, no tour, no nothing. What, is he desperate? Is there not as much left in the tank as even we're seeing on this tape here?
He's the one outlier, though.
That could have been a red flag for the 49ers. It's not a selling point. It's a red flag.
The 49ers also went as so far as to try and figure out what Garoppolo would have fetched them in a trade. And
so they were thinking. They were in on thinking. Yeah, like, we got to take the call.
And so they found out through – it doesn't get into super details about how they found this out, but – Wickersham reports in the book and writes that the 49ers discovered that what they thought, which would have been a first and a third, was very high, and they were not going to get that for Jimmy Garoppolo. And so they weren't going to maybe get the return that they had hoped for on moving him, too.
We all still would have done that.
I'd have done it. I'd done it a year ago.
You get Brady plus what in draft picks? They would have gotten something good.
Yeah.
Maybe not a first and third. Maybe two twos, you know.
Would you trust that group to draft the receiver? I would say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even a third.
You think San Francisco regrets it? Do you think any other team in the league that passed on Brady and didn't want to have the conversation regrets it?
Yeah. Yes.
How could you not?
Yes.
If you're a struggling Tennessee team, if you're effing Nagy in Chicago and you were actually in on it, are you the one team? Are you the Mitch Trubisky or the other one that said, you're going to keep that effing guy over me?
Well, so
that's
comment.
That's what I want to know.
T-Bone thinks that somehow knowing this about San Francisco now Brady talking about Garoppolo.
Nope.
Which I think is, again, we've already discussed that scenario, and there's no way, in my mind, Brady would have said that about Garoppolo.
Why not?
He wouldn't have done it.
Not coming off the Super
Bowl,
sorry.
Because Garoppolo played in a Super Bowl. He knows Garoppolo personally.
It's a respect thing.
And believe it or not, T-Bone, I don't think Tom Brady is an a-hole like that to say that about Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
Garoppolo doesn't deserve that.
Garoppolo went with him to the Derby like 8 months before that.
I think Brady is a reasonable guy. I think he would have looked at that and he would have said, yeah, I get why San Francisco doesn't want me. I think you're stupid because I'd be better for you. But I get it. You went to the Super Bowl with this guy. You know, you're coming off a Super Bowl loss. He's played well there. He's won games for you. All right. Well, I tried. I tried to offer you my services. I told you were my first pick. That was where he wanted to go first. Think Tampa Bay cares that he wanted to go elsewhere before he landed with them? Not one bit. Oh, I wasn't your first choice? No problem. No problem at all. What are you going to do? Can't be everybody's favorite, but yeah. We got the hardware to show that it's all worked out. We'll get to headlines. Hardy has you covered. He wanted to go back to the 49ers. He wanted to go home. Also,
hey, everybody wants to go home.
Conversations between Mac Jones and Tom Brady. Underground conversations. Details on that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much you've seen of Mac Jones, just your initial impressions of him?
I haven't seen him much at all. Yeah. Let's see him much at all.
It's like they interviewed Sean Penn yesterday.
All right, so I haven't seen him much at all.
Yeah. Brady, you've got COVID. Get that guy a nasal swab.
Shut up.
All right, so I'm not wishing COVID on anyone. Let me make that very clear. But if he does have it right now, they should give him.
They should move
sick.
The game.
He's sick. They should
move
the game. They should test him. Should they
should
not?
Move the game.
Should they test him
nope,
already?
Nope.
They test it all the time, don't they?
Yes.
No, not necessarily. Not once when you're vaccinated.
They do.
So they do.
No, they increase it once a week.
Players still have to get a test every now and then.
Right, but it's once a week. He may have had it last Saturday and not had one yet.
But what,
then he got over it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the rules are. Like, if you're showing symptoms, do you have to immediately get tested regardless?
You want to do a pregame without him?
Showing
you want to do a pregame without
he's
him?
Showing symptoms.
No, he isn't.
A pregame without
you
him?
You want to do a three-hour pregame without that guy?
Listen, Zoe, I need the Patriots to salvage their season. They're desperate. I need them to salvage this thing. I want them so desperately to salvage this thing. I do not want another wasted season here of building.
What if he had
and maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe I'm naive to where the Patriots are in their arc here of getting back up and getting off the mat after Brady leaving and having the reset year. But whatever it takes to win at this point.
If he had it, could they move it to the bye weekend to give us another Brady week?
No. Play the game. Play the game.
Hey, but right there, like that point, that's the NFL's biggest fear this year. And he's the one that brought it up. Like, it's going to be a tough year.
I feel like no one is really focused on the game, ourselves included. We've talked a lot about game planning today. Yep. We talked for an hour and a half about it to start the show. How do you get after him and things you can do? And the Peyton plan from 2013 that Phil Perry's been very high on.
I know it's a different type of crowd that's going to be there a little bit on Sunday night. I mean, you got most of your season ticket holders. Season ticket holders don't want to miss this game. I got a lot of buddies that are season ticket holders.
I think a lot of them aren't going, though.
Not one of them sold them. They're going because they're the same way. Like, we want to see them one more time. And I think the best thing the Patriots have going for them in this game, regardless of the mix of what the crowd's going to be, and that's going to be, their emotions are going to be struggling a little bit. But if you come out and you start humming and you're playing well, you could turn this. You could have the most pro-Patriot crowd once the Brady stuff settled pregame. Once you see him, you get through it, whatever they acknowledge, blah, 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 and that ball's kicked off. Now it's football to what you're talking about, the game. You control, the Patriots control this crowd Sunday night. You know, Tampa has a three and out. You put a quick seven on the board. Place is humming. Play jump around. Place is going. They'll be going nuts. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Create that college environment. Come on, let it fly, man. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? Play close to
the vest. I hope you're right. I hope that on third down, the stadium gets loud and makes things difficult for Tom Brady. I just, with such a fraud crowd expected, I'm not sure it's going to be that way. Fraud crowd. That's what it looks like it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be a fraud crowd.
Or these, let's check. We got to check the ticket prices, don't we? We haven't done that yet today.
It's not quite a pink hat crowd. It's more like a scene crowd. They just want to be part of the scene. They want to be there for it. I think, you know, because
those are frauds to me.
It's a charcuterie crowd.
No, it's not. It's the yay Tom Brady crowd.
Yeah, charcuterie. This isn't a hot dog crowd. You're not just throwing some hot dogs down someone's throat. Yeah, you're spreading it out. You're getting out the peppercini. You know, what kind of brie cheese should we have?
Gabagool.
Yeah. Give me a little glass of wine. Ooh, it's a little chill in the air.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
I got the wine. I got the prosciutto.
And now he's can eat.
Okay, now he's can eat.
Ticket prices have continued to drop.
Yeah,
there are
that's good.
There are dozens available for $250 as the get-in price. Granted, these don't include fees. There are considerable fees because, well, Ticketmaster and the ticket lords absolutely hose you on everything these days. So yeah, there's plenty of tickets available. There are hundreds of tickets under $300 now. That was not the case even 2 days ago. Mm. When we checked this, what does that mean?
I don't know. I tell you, that damn, you're an a-hole for bringing that turkey chili in here.
You grilled yourself a Reuben yesterday.
That was good.
And we didn't say anything about it.
I know.
My 3-day-old turkey chili I reheated in the microwave.
It smells so good.
Do you know about these secret conversations of Tom Brady and Mac Jones? It happened when Mac Jones was at Alabama.
Oh.
Tom Brady used to call the Alabama.
Is it in the book?
No, this is actually, I don't know who it was that revealed this week. This was in a story.
The Athletic.
Yeah, it was in a story in The Athletic, but I don't know exactly who gave up the info. Jeff Howell wrote about this. Brian Daboll would have players from New England that he had coached, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, call down to Alabama and discuss and offer advice with players on Alabama's team. Now, Jalen Hurts was the starter at the time, so Jalen Hurts had the most communication with Brady, but Brady also talked with Mac Jones and Tua when they were behind Jalen Hurts. So they've had some level of communication. Level of back and forth.
I'm more interested in
talking foosball.
In Rob Gronkowski's advice when he was asked to call down there.
Hello, what color red are your helmets? I like crimson.
Gronk, in or out this weekend, Zoe?
Out.
Out.
He's out.
No Gronkowski.
Ribbies.
You think that's going to be on the injury report today?
It will have to be exactly what the issue is when he does not step on that plane tomorrow.
Gronk practiced today.
So he was on the field.
That doesn't mean he's traveling.
What was his level of participation?
He was out there. Oh, he was there.
Just within the last couple of minutes, Bruce Arians, the Athletic writer Greg Aumann, who covers the Bucks. Bruce Arians just said JPP and Rob Gronkowski will be game time decisions.
Game time
on Sunday, so they're going to travel. Richard Sherman will travel and dress, but not necessarily play against the Patriots. So that would mean there's a chance Gronk plays. You still say leaning out.
I lean heavily out.
Heavily out?
Yeah.
So you think this might be a little showmanship here?
I'll check in again.
Okay, let's check see, in.
Get an update. Maybe I feel better today.
Maybe he took some CBD and he's flying high.
Well, cured his.
Oh, Aaron, hello.
And cured his concussions. And CTE.
Where are you? In Boston?
Are you in space?
Oh, Karen, hello.
But this week, to go back to that Mac Jones thing and Brady thing, those guys haven't talked about each other at all. Mac Jones has, in fact, dodged questions about whether or not he's ever talked to him.
Mac Jones won't even mention him by name.
Mac Jones wants nothing to do with the Tom Brady story. Good for him. Stay the hell away from this one. Has nothing to do with you. Nothing. 617-779-0985. Jeff in Nashua, go ahead.
What's happening, boys? Hey, I'm telling you that Barbershop Brady, he was talking about Derek Carr and, you know, the Raiders and their enduring commitment to excrement never disappoints. And with, you know, with them off to a 3-0 start, I'm sure that Raider Nation is already pregaming for the Super Bowl. But I digress. As a football fan, I am hoping for a competitive game on Sunday. I am really looking forward to the spectacle of all of it. But I'm fearful, though, that we're going to see what we would kind of expect to see when you have Don Jr. as your D coordinator and Eric as your safeties coach. But I did have a question. Will there be a Milliken minute today on the Red Sox?
No.
Because
you want one?
You want one?
Do the people want one?
Can have it right now.
Okay. No, we'll save it. We'll do it. We'll get you a Milliken minute today. Let's do that coming up next. Also,
Sounds good.
The latest on the coverage of this game Sunday night on NBC. That's all on the way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where it began. I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong.
So strong, so strong, so strong.
Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer.
Did you see the videos from about a week ago, 5 or 6 nights ago, when they gave up the big one late? They played this. I heard Nessa coming back from break. But the videos that went viral,
people still standing and swaying at the reduction.
Reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline.
Bum, bum, bum. It don't matter if we win or lose.
So good, so good, so good.
You're 8 year old little girl. I.
That weird part aside, it's not a bad song.
It used to be a great song.
Yeah, Jim Plunkett playing this in a bar. Come on.
Nothing better than that. Nothing better. And they ruined it.
All right, so Milliken, let's do it. Red Sox minute. You're going to just rip on Xander Bogaerts? What are you going to do?
Xander Bogaerts is definitely at the front of the line. You can throw JD Martinez right there, who have been average players. Just average players when they needed them most, when this lineup is failing, and you're seeing it. They had to take care of a series against the Orioles. These bats don't show up. Embarrassing. Embarrassing stuff overall. And it's tough. You see a guy like Kyle Schwarber show up in that series. He's continued to show up since he's got here.
What's Bobby Dalbec doing?
He didn't play last night, but Kyle Schwarber did, and Kyle Schwarber once again continues to swing the bat well. It's sad where the Red Sox are at. I don't blame people if they're crapping on them and saying different things about them right now because
your tone's
changed. No, but it's true. They don't show up to Baltimore. This is a team that fought. They've been playing hard since August. It's not like that hasn't been true. They went on a 7-game winning streak. They've had some clutch wins, but you come to Baltimore and you play like this, they deserve everything they have coming their way.
You're getting trolled by the social media of the Seattle Mariners and the Baltimore Orioles at the same time.
They deserve it. That's what all the Twitter accounts do it at this point. But once again, turn that attention to Xander Bogaerts, who we sat and, you know, you couldn't listen to a broadcast for 3 months without hearing how underrated he is and all these different things. Well, he blows on defense and he's not hitting. So what do you say at that point? JD Martinez, oh, great. You have one great game like you do every couple weeks. Doing the same thing you do the next night, you're useless. It's embarrassing. You expect this offensive core to do damage. They're the ones who are supposed to lead this team, and they don't show up.
Damage.
What do you say at that point? You call for Heim Bloom's job. It's weak. It's a weak argument.
Oh.
It is.
Ooh.
Look at the guys who have failed you. That's it.
Ooh.
Matt McCarthy with a tweet last night. He said, good luck to Alex Cora as he tries to navigate the National League ballpark with all the DHs Bloom put on the roster.
Yeah, shout out J.D. Martinez, who made you the reason you had to deal for Kyle Schwarber.
He said, this poor bastard, the season's on the line, and all he could do is pray that he picks the right eight guys. There are no good options here.
They were stuck in this spot because that main part of the lineup did not hit. If Xander Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez did their job, they'd have a wild card spot already. They would have clinched that, but they haven't, and they let you down. That core, those two guys. You want to really compare? Go look at the Yankees. Who are the two guys shining right now? It's
Stan.
Aaron Judge and, yes, Giancarlo Stan. Who are the comps if you were to look at the Red Sox? Xander Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez. Oof. What did they do? They turned into shells of themselves. So hold them accountable because their play the last 2 months has been fraudulent and there's nothing short of it. Hold them on it. And Xander Bogaerts, you want to stick around here long term? That's a real conversation now. It's a real conversation.
Well,
you let this team down.
I don't think he can play short anymore.
No, it's clear he can't. And
I think that long term, if he's going to be here, which I hope he is, you know me, big Bogaerts guy, but I fully recognize he is sucking at an epic level right now. He can't play short anymore.
I know that, but he's still your star. Like you need a little bit of star power here.
And he hasn't
as bad as it
that.
Is.
He hasn't given you that in months, and that's
no,
just
I,
reality.
I know he hasn't, but I mean, like at least you look at Ripken at the end. You look at Jeter at the end. You still need those guys, like, but not really the Yankees.
Well, no, the big
Bogaerts turned 29 today.
Hold on. The big knock on Bogaerts, and it's a fair knock, is that he's been unable to finish season strong.
Yep.
That he can't last an entire season and play at the high level the entire season, that he fades.
That's it, and we've seen it.
And he's talked about it. He's talked about trying to manage that and manage the full 162, and here you are at the end of the year, and he's nowhere to be found. All right, three games left to go. Starting tonight, Washington Nationals for three. Red Sox trying to save themselves and get into the playoffs and be a wild card team. I think they're doomed for one reason. Dan Shaughnessy pointed this out months ago now, that the final game of the regular season would happen on the same afternoon as the Brady Belichick Bowl in Foxborough. God. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Pointed that out in his column.
He did.
And said the Red Sox could be fighting for their life on the final day of the season against the Nats while the Patriots will get ready to play that night. It could line up to be a big sports day. And because Shaughnessy said that, and he has this track record, 2011, see 2011, Shaughnessy, Heidi Watney.
He trolled them 4 or 5 days ago. I retweeted
doomed.
This morning. Going
they're
through,
doomed.
They're doomed. Sorry, guys, but it's a 10-year anniversary.
Shaughnessy doomed them.
He goes, happy 10-year anniversary, and it's the Orioles. It's
the freaking when was the anniversary? Yesterday? Dave?
It was 2 days ago.
A couple days ago?
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. There you go. T-Bone, what's the latest on the Sunday night broadcast? Is it going to be on YouTube TV? Did they reach agreements?
They did.
Looks like they have a tentative extension.
Yeah.
Is it a short-term fix or is it a long-term extension?
Looks like it's short-term.
Ooh. I'm happy for Louth because, like, he'll be able to, his kid will at least be able to see the game down there as Louth closes his own pool today. You know, that's pool closing day today for Jim. He's doing his own pool.
Today, he's doing it himself. He took a day off to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's nice. Anybody could do whatever use whatever you want.
He's working from home.
Yeah. Probably his headset on right now, just having a heart attack. Jeez. She'd stop talking about me.
NBC Universal did not say how long the short term extension would last. Google, owns YouTube TV, could not be immediately reached for comments.
Oh, my God.
Short term extension. Keep the programming on, which means we're still on YouTube TV. Hello, everyone out there in the internet.
And all the ships at sea.
There you go.
Are we on the peacock?
On the cock?
No, he said get on the cock.
No, are we on the peacock? Like if you have it, do you get to...
I don't know.
Like, do you get to watch us?
We're on the NBC Sports app.
There's a lot of...
I think we're on a cock at home.
Too many things peacock don't.
No, but are we on the cock premium?
Peacock. I don't
know. I'm being told no.
We're not on the cock premium.
Peacock.
Premium.
What was that thing somebody sent the video where my head was going that way, the same way the cock was looking one way or the other?
Now you're celebrating again. That's a problem. Don't celebrate it.
No, the bird was looking one way or the other.
I know.
Sideways.
Unintentional comedy. That's what it was.
That was one of my favorite things that's ever happened. And It took me a second. A lot of people still haven't seen it. You can see in the replies to that tweet. Like, what? I don't get it. What's so funny?
You'll get it.
You'll get it.
Keep just watching. Keep
it took me about 10 times.
I'll send it out again. I'll send it out again right now.
Just keep watching. We should see if Josh can pull a better version of that. Oh, there it is. Shut up.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I just retweeted at Hardy985.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
We had no clue that bird's there.
RJ Bell on the line with us after headlines. We'll ask him how to wager on this game. Maybe we'll ask him about some of the prop bets that are out there. You see all these prop bets on this game? It's like a Super Bowl.
We're going right to the 17-pointer that Tardy took.
No, we'll do that.
Right to that
first
one.
Patriots Bucks with RJ right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.